Okay, good evening, everybody. This Shabbos, Bez Hashem, we lay in Parshas Matos and Maaseh, and thereby finish the Sefer Bamidbar. What I'd like to do this evening is explore an important subject that is in Parshas Maaseh, not really so much exactly Halacha L'Maaseh, but I think an important concept, and they indicated in the Shir, we entitled it The Goals of Conquering Land in and Beyond Eretz Yisrael. And I'd like to share an insight from Rabbi Yehuda Amital, Zichron Levrocha, Rav Amital, those who don't know, was the founding Rosh Yeshiva of Yeshivat Har Etzion, Gush Etzion, known as Gush, a yeshiva in Alon Shvut. He was the founder of that yeshiva not long after the 1967, the Six-Day War. He himself was a Holocaust survivor, came over from Europe and founded that yeshiva, and also one of the founders and leaders of the Hesder movement. In Eretz Yisrael, you know, the boys are part of the time in the yeshiva and part of the time in the army and so on. A very special person. I studied the yeshiva at Har Etzion and Gush Etzion myself. I was not a Talmud of his. I was never in his shira. He would give public shiurim and public talks and so on that I heard. But I was not a Talmud of his in the sense of being his shira. I was not in his shira. But I nevertheless want to share part of what I should with tonight will be Shtekel Torah, Chiddush Torah, one of the Chiddush Torah that he came up with, and it fits in very much with our subject. So we look in Parshas Maaseh in the first of the sources, Bamidbar Perek Lamed Gimel Pasuk Nun, through Nun Gimel, those psukim. It says, Vaidaber Shon Sheba Arvos Mo Vaidain Rech Lemor, Tabrel Bnei Yisrael, you're about to go into Eretz Yisrael, right? Parshas Maaseh is the very end. They've just about reached their destination. In a certain sense, Parshas Maaseh is the end of the Chumash, because Chumash Dvarim that follows is a recap, Moshe Rabbeinu's final drasha in the last little more than a month of his life and so on. So Parshas Maaseh, in a certain sense, is the end. They're about to go into Eretz Yisrael. The Pasuk says, Nun Beis, V'horashtem is kol Yosha Eretz Miteichem. Rashi says in source 2, V'horashtem, Gerashtem. You have to drive out the present inhabitants of the land and get rid of all the Avodah Zarah. Baratem is kol Maskeh Osam, and so on. And then the pasuk is most important for us tonight, pasuk Nun Gimel, Vorashtem es ha'aretz, okay, you get rid of all those inhabitants, V'yishavtem bo, and you dwell in the land. Ki lachem nosati es ha'aretz l'resh l'so, because I've given you this land to inherit and so on. So Rashi says, what does it mean? Vorashtem es ha'aretz v'yishavtem bo. In fact, it's like cause and effect. Rashi says, pasuk Nun Gimel in source 2. It says, Vorashtem oso mi yoshveho, you drive out the current dwellers, and then, as you shaft them, then you'll be able to dwell in there. If you won't drive them out, they're going to be troublemakers. They're going to have a trouble. Okay, if you're in love, lo suchlis kaimbal, you're not going to survive. They're not going to get along with you, and so on. Okay, that's how Rashi learns. You should drive them out because that way you'll be able to inherit the land. But the Ramban has a very famous comment here in his parish on the Chumash in this pasuk, Perek Lamed Gimel Bamidbar Pasuk Nun Gimel, Arashim Esaretz, and so on. The Ramban writes, Aldati zu mitzvas asei hi. My opinion, this is a mitzvah asay. This is one of the 613 mitzvahs of the Torah, one of the Ramach 248 mitzvahs asay. What's the mitzvah? Yitzava osam sheyeshu ba'aretz v'yirshu osam. You have to live in the land. Ramban counts that as one of the Taryag mitzvahs, one of the 613 mitzvahs. It was given to us to live in, and therefore it is a mitzvah to live in the land based on this pasuk. V'lo yimasu b'nachas Hashem. The people shouldn't reject the heritage that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given. And the ilu yale al daitam alechas lichbosh eretz shinor eretz asher v'zulosim lishashiv shom yavru mitzvah Hashem. And if some of you think, well, let's go, we'll go conquer, we won't live in Eretz Yisrael, we'll go conquer some other land. Shinar is like Babel or Assyria, someplace we'll live over there. Says the Ramban, then you're mevatel this mitzvah saseh. You're violating this mitzvah saseh. And he refers to the Gemara and the Ksubas, which have beautiful statements about the greatness of living in Eretz Yisrael. And it's also to leave Eretz Yisrael. We'll come back to some of that later. But the kiakosuv azeh he mitzvah asay. The Ramban can't be more clear. This pasuk is a mitzvah asay, and he points out we find this referenced elsewhere in the Torah too. It's not just here. He refers to a pasuk I printed in source 4, Dvarim Perak Aleph, Psukim Zayin and Ches, where it gives a little bit of the borders. Right, you'll psu sulachem go travel the Har Hamori and the Arava, the Har, the Shvela, the Negev, the Chof Hayam. That's the whole Eretz Yisrael, right? The plains and the mountains and the valleys and the Negev and the ocean front, you know, the coast, etc. Right? Eretz Haknani, Valavon, Re'ei Pasuches Nosati Lifnechem is hard. Bo Urshu Esaretz, come in and inherit it. Come in and occupy it. Come in and live there. That's another source the Ramban says. Now he refers to Rashi, who didn't seem to say that. At the end of the source 3, Rabban says, Rashi just says, what it means is, if you'll drive out the enemies, you'll be able to live there. But Rashi doesn't say it's a mitzvah. Rabban says, Mashe Parashu Ikarai, what I'm telling you is right. And indeed, the Rabban sticks to his guns, and in source number 5, I'd like to look through it, Rabban has a hasoga, several hasogas, to the Rambam Sefer HaMitzvahs. We know, right, we have a tradition that there are 613 mitzvahs. The Torah never lists them off. I have a tradition of 248 mitzvahs asay, 365 mitzvahs los asay. The Gemara mentioned, the Midrasha mentioned it, but never says in the Chumash. So different people wrote their list of what the mitzvahs were, including the Rambam. So the Rambam wrote a Sefer HaMitzvahs. The Ramban, who lived after the Rambam, took issue with the Rambam on several of the points. And he said, this mitzvah, he shouldn't have counted this one. He should have counted. He left this one out. He added that one. All right, somehow they all come to the total 613. That's not our problem right now. But the Ramban, you look in source 5, at the end of the mitzvahs asay section of the Rambam Sefer HaMitzvahs, he has a list of mitzvahs, mitzvahs asay, which he thinks the Rambam should have counted but didn't. Okay, that's what's called shichachas ha'esen, the mitzvahs asay, the esen, the mitzvahs asay, the Rambam forgot. He didn't forget them. But I mean, they left them out, right? And number 4 on the list, so source 5 in our pages, but number 4 on the list, mitzvah revis, shin stavinu l'resha sa'aretz, asher nosan ha'chis barquis alav osen alav otzir l'yakov. We have a mitzvah to live in the land, which is given to Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov. We call it Eretz Yisrael. V'lo nazo bi'adzul ha'senim and omos. We have no right to leave it under the sovereignty and the control of any other nation in the world. Ol ishmama, or to leave it simply desolate under no rulership. Under no sovereignty. And he quotes the pasuk here in Parshas Maaseh. That's the Mokros. So what the Ramban wrote in his Parsha Chumash, he writes here that he thinks the Rambam, you know, we have to figure out why the Rambam didn't count it, but he didn't. The Ramban says it should be counted. Okay, and he quotes this pasuk, and he says in the third line of 5, "Nichpa b'zenyan mitzvahs u'mekomos acherim." Nifkal chazeh, this is repeated in another place, and he quotes the pasuk we said in source 4. The pasuk in Devarim Perak Aleph pasuk Ches, "Bo rishuas haaretz." Okay. And it gives you the boundaries in the previous pasuk, right? That tells you exactly what the land is. Or he has another pasuk. And I printed all these sources for you. So he prints another pasuk. We'll look at the next page for a second. Source 6. By the, when the Torah is recapping the events of the Meraglim and so on, right? Before they sent the Meraglim, right? It says in Perak Aleph of Devarim, Psukim Yutes, Chof Aleph, right? The main pasuk for us is the Kadosh Barnea, and it says in Chafal of Rei Nasa Hashem Alkecha Lefanecha. So it's Alei Reish. Go live there. Go inherit the land. Go occupy the land. That's what he mentions over there, right? And he quotes another pasuk in Parshas Ekev. I printed in source 7. Dvarim Perek Tes pasuk Chav Gimel. Uveshloach Hashem Eschem Kadosh Barnea Lemor Alu Urushu Es Haaretz Hashem Asati Lechem. I told you to go in. Unfortunately, you didn't listen. We all know what ended up happening to that door, right? They didn't listen, but you were told to go live in the land. So these are all different places in the Torah, where the Torah, the Ramban says, is telling us we have to go live in the land. So the Ramban says, therefore, I have to understand, I have to count this as a mitzvah, a regular mitzvah, as I say, min ha-Torah. And then the Ramban goes further and says, this is what the Gemara in Sota calls a milchemes mitzvah. Take a look. Again, I just printed the source, the Ramban quotes. These are all the Ramban sources. Look at number 8, the Mishnah in Sota, Mem Dalam Alav. It starts, the Yosu Ashotrim, that before the war, the officers would psych up the troops and give them a whole speech. And at the end, the Mishnah makes a distinction between a Mechemes Rishus and a Mechemes Mitzvah. Well, what's the distinction? So if you remember, I didn't print the whole thing there in Source 8, but somebody who just got married and someone who just purchased a house, they don't have to go out to war. And the Mishnah says, but B'mendvar Mamor, when is that true? But Mechemes Rishus, an optional war. Right, but Mechemes Mitzvah, everybody has to fight. No exemptions. Okay, managing that din right now, I may come back to that point. But what's a Mechemes Mitzvah? The Mishnah distinguishes between Mechemes Rishus and Mechemes Mitzvah. So look in Rashi in 9. So to Memdal and Beis. But Medram, the Chosim and Amarocha, right? They can come back or they don't have to go out to war in the first place. That's Mechemes Rishus. Mechemes Mitzvah says Rashi, the second line of 9. Kigon Kibush Eretz Yisrael b'mei Yehoshua. Right? That's Rashi's. Yeah. What's a Mechemes Mitzvah? Conquering the land in the days of Yehoshua. That's a Mitzvah. Right? So that's what Ramban says. That's a Mitzvah. The Mitzvah to go fight and conquer the land. Right? So getting back to Ramban, he says that's exactly what a Mechemes Mitzvah is. And he also refers to, the Gemara itself says it. That's in Sotam Emdalam at Beis 10. The Gemara says, Omar Rabba, Mechemes Yoshua Lichbosh, Divrei HaKol Chova. Everybody agrees that's obligatory. That war is obligatory. On the other hand, We'll come back to this too. But Melchemes Beis Dovah Levocha Dibrei Choshus. If it's just a king wants to increase his territory for political reasons or militaristic reasons, that's a Melchemes Rishus. But the Melchama to conquer the land, that's what Rashi says in 11, right? That's not Rishus. That's obligatory. And also, and it's a regular mitzvah that a person has to do. And the Melchemes Beis Dovah, that's different. But a Melchemes mitzvah, so conquer Eretz Yisrael is a mitzvah. Rabban also refers to a sifrei in Parsha Shoftim. In Parsha Shoftim, source 12, Parak Yud Zayin, Pasuk Yud Dalet, it says, "Ki savol aretz asher Hashem lekecha nosen lecha v'rishto v'yashavta bo." Right, that's what we want to point the king. V'rishto v'yashavta bo. Okay, so the sifrei says in 13, Piska Kuf Nun Vav, and the sifrei in Parsha Shoftim, Chumash Dvarim, he says, "V'rishto v'yashavta bo b'schar shetirash teishev." You'll be able to live there once you drive out the enemies who are there. So that's part of the mitzvah, to conquer the land. So the goal of conquering the land, our question, the title this year, the goals of conquering land in and beyond Eretz Yisrael. Well, the goal of conquering land in Eretz Yisrael is to for the Jewish people to go live there. That's what you have to do. Again, the Ramban goes in great length. He has much more information in his Hasogas and Sefer Mitzvahs than he has in the little paragraph in our Sedra. But it's all based on the same idea that this is a mitzvah saseh, that we have to conquer the land. Okay, live there. And he quotes another sifrei. He says, let's say you want to conquer other land. So if you take a look at another Ramban before that, the Ramban says, you know, there is a mitzvah to drive out the inhabitants. That's true. But the Ramban says, don't think that's the only mitzvah. That's in Parsha Shoftim, Perkhof, Pasuk, Tez Zayin, Yud Zayin, right? Those people who live there, you're not allowed to keep anything alive. Lo sechaya kol neshama, the end of Tazayin and Yudzayin. Ki hachareim tacharimeim. Hachiti v'amori v'aknani v'apriz v'achi v'avusi, right? Hachareim tacharimeim, it's to wipe them out. But Ramban says in his parish of Chumash in the bottom of 5, he says, that's a different mitzvah. Okay, that's a different mitzvah. You know, there's one mitzvah to drive them out, but then there's another, the next part of that mitzvah is to go live in the land. Okay? And it says, then, the way the Ramban learns in Parshas Ekev, Perek Yud Aleph, Pasuk Chav Gimel Chav Dalid, 15. Vahori Shashem is Kolagoyim Elim Nechem. You'll inherit those. You'll drive out those land, those people. You'll drive them out, and you'll take over the land. So then Chav Dalid, Kol Amokom Asher Tidroch Kafar Aglechem Bo Lachem Yeh. Any place where you go, you'll get. Okay, so the Sifrei there in Parshas Ekev, Piskun Nun Aleph, Source 16, says no. What's telling you here is that you're allowed to conquer other areas, but very important, that's only after you conquer Eretz Yisrael proper. Okay, it's not right to conquer other areas first. All right, you should first conquer Eretz Yisrael. That's what Ramban says. That's what the sifrei means. Okay, after you've conquered Eretz Yisrael, then you can go conquer other places. And David HaMelech made a mistake. Well, we'll see about that too. He did it in the wrong order, and that has ramifications. What exactly is some of the ideas of conquering the land? What, just to take over the land? So again, so the purpose is that we should live there, right? The goal of conquering the land is to live there, but there's something else as well. Look what the Rambam writes in Source 17, Hilchos Trumos, Parak Aleph, Halacha Beis. Rambam writes, Eretz Yisrael, Hamura b'chol mokom, hi b'artzo shekivshon melech Yisrael, onov midas rov Yisrael, v'zeo hanikra kibush rabim. The Rambam says, what area has the status of Eretz Yisrael in Halacha? An area which was conquered by the Jewish king or some other leader with the, you know, with all of Klal Yisrael with him. That's called Kibush Rabim. It is a public, or better word, a public, communal conquest. Aval Yochid mi Yisrael, but an individual Jew, even a mishpacha, family, even a whole Shevet, they went and conquered the area. Even if it's in that territory which was originally promised Avram, that does not have the status of Eretz Yisrael in terms of observing the mitzvahs of Eretz Yisrael. And that's what we call a kibush yachid, an individual, not a communal. It can be a lot of individuals. It can be a whole shevet. But that does not have the status of Eretz Yisrael. And that's why, says the Rambam, it's also based on our parsha here, Parsha's Masay. Umipnei zeh cholak Yoshua beizino kol Eretz Yisrael afal pishol nechbisho. Kadesh Kibush Yochid Kishiala Koshavit Vishbosh Kalko. He says as follows, and it's really based upon a pasuk here in Parshas Maaseh. Take a look at 18. Paraklamadal Pasuk Yurches. The Nasi Echad Rimata Tikul Linchol Es Ha'aret. It's here in our Sedra. It has to be one representative from each Shevet to divide up the land. As Rashi says, Sheinochel V'cholek Osam Komchum is going to divide up the land. Okay, meaning as follows. Okay, and by the way, take a look and say for Yehoshua. All right, I didn't print it, it's a whole parak. But it took them 7 years to conquer Eretz Yisrael, the Sheva Shekivshu. It took them 7 years to conquer the land. Okay, by tradition, the Gemara records it took them another 7 years to divide it all up. Okay, but only then did it have the Kedusha after Kibush Rechiluk, then it had its Kedusha. But the Rambam says that the divvying up of the land is mentioned already here in our Sedra, and that's what the Rambam says over there in the end of Perek Aleph Halacha Beis, the end of 17. He says, even though they hadn't physically or politically or militarily conquered all the land, they divided it up anyway. That was done as a unit, Klal Yisrael, as a community. In other words, they're going to conquer it later, and it could be some individual people will conquer. But if each Shevet would have itself gotten together just to conquer an area, that the Rambam says a kibush yochid. That's an individual conquest. And that will not sanctify Eretz Yisrael in terms of all the mitzvahs. Okay, what you need to sanctify Eretz Yisrael in terms of the mitzvahs is kibush rabim. And that's why the Torah describes that the land was distributed, even though at least it was distributed, shall we say, on paper, even before it was actually physically or militarily conquered. Okay, that kibush rabim would be Mekadosh Eretz Yisrael. So now we have another point. Okay, we asked in the title of the Shia, the goals of conquering land in Eretz Yisrael. One goal is to live there, but also, apparently, according to the Rambam, this kibush, this public, or better, communal conquest, this communal kibush, is what gave Eretz Yisrael its status in terms of the mitzvahs of Eretz Yisrael. Right? And that's what the Rambam says. Again, you look carefully at 17, Parak Aleph equals Chumas Halacha Beis. The Rambam writes, right, if an area was not conquered by the Rambam as part of this general communal conquest, the place, Eino Nikra Eretz Yisrael, Kadeshin Hagu B'Kala Mitzvahs. It's not called Eretz Yisrael in terms of the obligation of mitzvahs. As a side point, I don't want to get to something that Rav Soloveitchik said, okay, the Gemara in Gittin wonders. The Gemara in Gittin has a discussion. Gittin Chesam and Aleph going over to Chesam Beis, source 20. I'm going to say it outside. The Gemara says there's a territory called Syria. Syria is more or less today's Syria, right? It's to the north, northeast of Eretz Yisrael. Okay? So Syria has the status of Eretz Yisrael for some dinim and the status of Chutz La'aretz for other dinim. And one of the things it says is Chayeves B'Maiser V'Shvi'is. The Gemara in Gittin Chesam and Aleph on the bottom of the page, Chayeves B'Maiser V'Shvi'is. Okay, now, this area was conquered by David HaMelech, not part of Eretz Yisrael proper. It's not part of the land that was promised to Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, not part of Eretz Yisrael proper. But David HaMelech conquered it, and so it has sort of an in-between type of status. And the Gemara says, well, what do you mean? But how could it be Chayav and Mitzvahs? Okay, Meister and Shvius. I thought the Rambam said that that needs a Kibush Rabim. And this was a kibush yochid. David HaMelech did it for his own purpose. It was a kibush yochid, even though it was a king. But there was a kibush yochid. So how could it be? So the Gemara says, Chesam Beis, the top of the page, the end of 20, Kosovar kibush yochid shmei kibush. So I'm not going to read through all the Rashis now. He's just telling you, look in 21 where Syria is. That's Aram Tzova. That's today's Syria, Aleppo, right? And Rashi tells in 21, Suri, this Chesam and Alvin Gittin. The Kovsha David, Vosifa Eretzol. David conquered and added on to Eretzol. It's not part of Eretzol proper. And as Rashi said, Suri is Litzono Shal Eretz Yisrael, Lahala and Me'ako. It's to the north of Eretz Yisrael, way past Akko. So we usually think the truth is, we usually think Syria is to the east, to the northeast. But the truth is, those who know the geography, Syria wraps around. Lebanon is a direct due north of Eretz Yisrael, but on the top of Lebanon comes Syria. Syria wraps around like the Florida Panhandle. Right, or the Oklahoma Panhandle sticks out, it gets to the coast. Okay, anyway, be that as it may, so Gemara says, why does that have the status of Eretz Yisrael? Was it Kibush Yochid, or is Rashi said David conquered it? So this Gemara is of the opinion, Kibush Yochid, Shmei Kibush, that Kibush Yochid is good enough. So that's a big machlokas. Comes up in a couple of them. But there are other places. Kibush yochid, whether that counts as a kibush or not. So the question is, one second, but how could it be? How could kibush yochid count as a kibush? Okay. This place, Aram Tzoba, Aleppo, and so on and so forth, which Rashi said was privately conquered by David HaMelech for his own purposes. Okay. So now we happen to paskin kibush yochid lavshmei kibush. But how could any machlokas? If the whole... We just proved that the Psukim in our Sedra demonstrate that there needed to be a Rabim, a public, a communal conquest to give it to the Rabbim. Pasuk like that. We saw it in the Hilchos Trumas, Parak Alach HaBeis, back in source, whatever number it was. Okay, we quoted that Rambam. It was that important number 17. Yeah, 17. So, anyway, so how could it be? How could there be a machlokas kibush yochid kibush rabin? So the answer, this Rav Soloveitchik explained, and it sounds counterintuitive at first, but then once he explained it, it fits in very well. He says as follows. One second, he says the requirement for kibush rabin, that's in Eretz Yisrael proper. In Eretz Yisrael proper, everybody would agree that a kibush rabim is needed. The machlokas is only on areas outside of Eretz Yisrael, like Surya, outside of Eretz Yisrael proper. There's a machlokas where it also has to be kibush rabim or kibush yochid suffices. So now, wait a minute. Isn't it counterintuitive? Okay. Why should there be even a possibility? We paskin not that way. Why should even a possibility that a kibush yochid works for outside of Eretz Yisrael? Whereas in Eretz Yisrael, everybody agrees that a kibush yochid would be insufficient. Okay, you need to have this communal kibush rabim. So Soloveitchik said, because the artzos hanosofos, those lands that are adjacent or contiguous to Eretz Yisrael, they can get the kiddush of Eretz Yisrael through what we call like a spillover, right? It spills over the kiddusha, like the Rav gave an example, like a make havdalah. You pour a little wine, the cup flows over. My cup runneth over. I kosi revoya, right? You fill it up with wine when it's full. So then the kedusha, the wine spills over. The kedusha can spill over. Now that's how the Rav explained it. He said that once you have kedusha in Eretz Yisrael, so the kedusha can spill over, not the whole world, but to the area. He gave an example. He said where he lives in Boston, he bought his house. That's not kibush yochid, and then the kedusha of Eretz Yisrael is going to apply to his house in Boston. Obviously not. It means the lands that are contiguous, right next to, adjacent, that are about to Eretz Yisrael. So the border Eretz Yisrael. So those areas can be enhanced, can be endowed with the kedusha of Eretz Yisrael. But in Eretz Yisrael, you have to create the kedusha to begin with, and only a kibush rabim can create that kedusha to begin with. Once you have that, then you can have the spillover, and maybe the spillover doesn't need a kibush rabim. Maybe for that a kibush yochid works. That's how the rabim. In other words, in order to introduce the kedusha of Eretz Yisrael, to initiate the kedusha of Eretz Yisrael, for that you need kibush rabim. As far as the spillover, that's possible to have that without just a kibush yochid. Perhaps we don't pass that, but that explains that shita. And the truth is, if you look in the Shechter pointed out, you look in the Sefer Yeshua's Malka, that's of Yeshua and Kutna. Yeshua of Kutna, he was a rabbi in Poland in the 1800s, so he wrote it's a parish in the Rambam. Yeshua's Malka, on that Rambam, Hilchos Trumas Parak Alav HaChabez, 23, he says an interesting din. Okay, I'll give you the background. You look in, again, well, first we'll take a look in Parshas, source 24, Parshas Eschanan, Dvar and Perak Dalad, start with Pasuk Mem Aleph. Oz Yavdil Moshe Shalosh Orem Beva Yardin Mizuchah Shamash. Moshe Rabbeinu set aside three cities. Remember the Orem Miklad, okay? As it says in Pasuk Mem Beza, Perak Dalad, and Eschanan, Lonu Shama Rotzeh Hasher Yitzach Hasher Bevli Das. You killed somebody by mistake, right? You don't, you Hulo Sone Lomino Shulshom. Right, you never knew the guy, you didn't hate the guy, nothing against him. It was a total accident. Well, not a total, it was a mamish, a freak thing, then you're off entirely. But some negligence, but it wasn't, manslaughter, whatever, it wasn't premeditated murder. So you run to the city, and it lists what the cities were. Pasuk Mem Gimel, Betzer, and then it says, interesting, so I put it in as a side point, 24. That's the Pasuk. V'zos ha-Torah she-samosha v'nei b'nei Yisrael. You know that we say, Bahagwa comes from there, of all the unlikely places. That Pasuk comes from a discussion about the Ari Miklat. The Pasuk we say when they lift the Torah Bahagwa, when by the side when they take the Torah out of the Arn. V'zos ha-Torah she-samosha v'nei b'nei Yisrael. That's the Pasuk. Anyway, so what does it mean? Moshe set aside those cities. Okay, Kshkoyach. Okay, Rashi tells us there in Vaschan, it's really important. Paragdal, Pusik Memalov, and Rashi. He says, the afal pi she'enon koltos ad she'yivdalu or she'yivadlu osan she'beretz Canaan. There were three, and he points, refers back to our Parsha again here, Parsha's Maseh. Another thing from our Parsha today in Parsha's Maseh. Look at source 26. That's where the Ari Mikla are introduced. Perek Lamed Hei, Psukim Tes to Yudalad. Okay? You have to set aside cities, and it gives you the who goes there, someone who killed by accident, and so on. And but it says, Sheish, in Pasuk Yud Gimel, Perek Lamed Hei, here in Parsha's Maseh, Sheish Ari Mikla Tiana Lachem. You have to have a total of six such cities, six Ari Miklat you have. And it says in Yudalad, three on the eastern bank of the Jordan and three on in Eretz Yisrael proper. And the so that's what Rashi says there in Parsha, here in our Parsha also, in Source 27, Perek Lamed Hei Pasuk Gimel. Even though Moshe set aside the three, because he was in the Eir HaYarden, he was on the western bank, that was the land from Sichon Og, which were later taken over also from our Sedra Parsha, the first Sedra Parsha, Matos, Ruvain, Gad, and Chatzim and Asher took those areas. Moshe was in that area, so he set aside the three cities, but they didn't work. They didn't go into effect until the other three inside Eretz Yisrael proper were set up in the days of Yehoshua. So why did Moshe do it? So Moshe said, you know, no, I have an opportunity to do a mitzvah. I'll do a mitzvah. That's what Rashi says over there back in 25 in Vashanan. Dvarim Perek Dal, Pasuk Memalo says, Amar Moshe, mitzvah, Shev Shalakam, I come in, I may as well do a mitzvah. So Moshe did it here too, even though it didn't have. And that's the Gemara, it didn't have effect. The Mishnah has that in Makkos, Tesla base 28. Mishnah Makkos, Ad Shal Nivchu, Shal Shal Eretz Yisrael, Lahel Shal Shal Eretz Yisrael, Koltos. Until the three were set up in Eretz Yisrael, the other three didn't work. So Moshe knew that. But he did it anyway. He said, set up those three because the opportunity to do a mitzvah. Okay, that's how the Rambam brings in Hilchos Rotzeach, Perek Ches, Halacha Gimel, 29. He passed in this way. Ein achas me'ari miklat koletes ad she'yivdul kulon. None of them work until all of them are set up. So why'd Moshe do it? I'm a holu bo mitzvah liyod. I come out of Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay, and some say that's the drosh of Zos HaTorah. That's why that pasuk appears. That's the whole Torah. When you have a chance to do a mitzvah, do it. Doesn't matter. Don't talk cheshmet. It doesn't work. Do the mitzvah. Okay, anyway, be that as it may, what's all this got to do? So getting back to source 23, B'Shuma Kutna, on that Rambam and Hilchos Trumas Perek Aleph, Halacha Beis, says it uses the same logic that Rav Soloveitchik just said over here. Okay? He said, this Ari Miklat in the Eirei Yarden didn't work until the ones in Eretz Yisrael proper were chosen. Why? He says, because the real status of Ari Miklat basically is in Eretz Yisrael proper. Once those are set up, so then the spillover can work elsewhere also. You follow the same type of logic, okay? As once you had the Kiddush in Eretz Yisrael, the Ari Miklat, the part of the Kiddush in Eretz Yisrael, so then it can work in Chutz Eretz. So it's the same logic. Even though those cities in Chutz and Eberle Yarden were set up first, they were set up before, but it doesn't matter. They didn't work. And they only work once Eretz Yisrael is the one Eretz Yisrael set up. So it's the same. That's why I want to bring that. We have to point out that Rabbi Shul Kutna had the same logic that of Soloveitchik, that it only works as a spillover, right? The Artos HaNosofos are not part of Eretz Yisrael proper. They can't do what they need to do in terms of mitzvahs until Eretz Yisrael is set up. Okay, and the truth of the matter is the Rambam says this Mefurish in Source 30, Perek Hay of Hilchos Malach Malach Vav. The Rambam writes, 30, Kol Arotz HaShakov Shnei Yisrael Melech Al Pi Ben. Any place a Jewish king conquers, okay, that's cool, you know, with the Bezdin and so on and so forth, with Klaisol, and not just for his own self-aggrandizement. So the Rambam says that kind of get the status of Eretz Yisrael. But only who shekovsho achar, that's only if he captured it after the rest. See, Surya, the David HaMelech conquered before the whole rest of Eretz Yisrael. That's why it never had the full status. But the Rambam said the areas can get the full status as long as you conquer them after you've conquered the rest of Eretz Yisrael, exactly as we've said. Okay, so this being the case now, and again, that's the same thing that Rishul Kutna says. And the Rambam, you look in 31, Hilchos Trumas, Perek Aleph, Halacha Gimel. The Rambam writes, Ha'aretz shekovesh dover chutz haaretz kanan kegon Aram Naharayim, Aram Tzova, Achlav. Achlav is Aleppo, same word, Chalav. Chalav is Aleppo, A-L-P, Cheslan. Achlav. These are, even though he was a Melech Yisrael, and even though he did it with Prish and Bezin, Eino, Keretz Yisrael, Achol Dover. it's not like Eretz Yisrael completely, also not like Chutz Aretz. It's kind of a middle status and so on. Okay? And the reason is why the Rambam says, look at the end of 31, second to last line of Perek Aleph and Lo Gimel. Mipnei Shekavosh Osam Kodem Shechbro Kol Eretz Yisrael. Because he conquered those areas before he conquered the Eretz Yisrael. So they're not going to have the full status of Eretz Yisrael. Ilu tafas karetz kamei busel acharkach kavash aretz acheres ha'kibusho kulo karetz yisrael chol davar. Had he done it in the other order, then they would have had the full status of Eretz Yisrael and so on. In any event, what emerges from all of this now is that part of conquering Eretz Yisrael is to give the land its full status, okay, and that needs kibush rabbim, as we've explained. And now we come back to Rabban we started with. So there's really a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. There's also a mitzvah to conquer Eretz Yisrael. That's the kibush. And you look in that Hasoga Saraban and the Sefer HaMitzvot that we started with back in Source 5, the Rabban is really saying clearly, it's not just living, it's also conquering. And now we see one of the functions of conquering. Past that, there's something else, though. I just want to mention, okay, the Ri Korkus, who was also a Rishon, a later Rishonim, the Ri Korkus on that Raman Hukos Trumas Parakalav and Chabez in 32, okay, he says that something's not called Eretz Yisrael for all the mitzvahs. He says, yeah, that's Dafka in the mitzvahs Eretz Yisrael, but Kedushas Eretz Yisrael Yeshla. He says, you know, it's got this areas in Eretz Yisrael which weren't conquered by Kibush Rab. I'm talking about the areas of Eretz Yisrael proper, have Kedushas Eretz Yisrael. That goes back to Avraham Avinu. You follow? In other words, the areas in Eretz Yisrael proper, and I'm not talking about Syria now, the areas in Eretz Yisrael proper, which the Rambam says don't have status of Eretz Yisrael unless there's a Kibush Rabbim, that's only true that it doesn't have Eretz Yisrael status in terms of all the mitzvahs of Eretz Yisrael, but it has, what do you call it? It has Kedushas Eretz Yisrael for those purposes. And he mentions that the Kaftar of Perach says the same thing. Okay, and it printed in 33, the Sefer Kaftar Ferach, that was a story of Parche, Rishon, who wrote the things relating to the halachas of Eretz Yisrael. So in Perek Yud, he writes, Hare shekedushos ha'aretz u'maylosa hi mishas nesinosa ela avos ha'kdoshim lo mishas ha'kibush l'chud. The Kedusha, that was in the days of the Avos already. That didn't come in by the Kibush. So we're just fine-tuning. The Kibush doesn't give it its Kedusha. The dinin, the mitzvahs, and the matanos, the other thing after that's from the kibush. Okay, and he quotes the Rambam, you know, Halacha Beis that we mentioned before. Others say this also. The Radvaz, he says it in the reverse. Okay, the Radvaz says in Perak Aleph, Hilchos Shmos Halacha Gimel 34. Radvaz says, Mashmei Hocha Shenikvash Kol Eretz Yisrael Acharka Chalach Moed Yisrael Pi Bezin. If all of Eretz Yisrael was conquered, then the king went even to an area which Avraham Avinu was not promised. Okay, some say Yesha Kedusha Kishar Eretz Yisrael. He said, I don't think so. I think it's the reverse. Dilma Dafka Genog Batumas Amaisus Minatara Avalin Kedusha Eretz Yisrael Mamish Lo. That's the reverse. The area which was not promised Avraham, that can have the status of Eretz Yisrael for the mitzvahs, or at least for some mitzvahs, maybe Truma is different, but not for Kedushas Eretz Yisrael. So that's the reverse. You follow? In other words, you can have an area that has in Eretz Yisrael proper that's considered Kedushas Eretz Yisrael, but it wasn't captured Kibush Rabbim, it won't have the dinim of the mitzvahs Eretz Yisrael. And the Radvaz has this the kind of reverse. You can have an area which was conquered by a melech after, in the right order, not like David Melech, in the right order after Eretz Yisrael was conquered. So good. So it's going to have Eretz Yisrael status for mitzvahs, but won't have Kedushas Eretz Yisrael. That goes back to the Avos. Rabbi Yaakov Emden, I'll skip that now, 35, in Simon Shin Vav, Rabbi Yaakov Emden had a comment on a tour called Moruk Tziyah. So in Simon Shin Vav, he talks about, again, different parts of Eretz Yisrael can have different status. It can have Kedusha without the mitzvahs and mitzvahs without the Kedusha and so on. I just wanted, before we get to what Rabbi Mital added, an important point about Milchemes Mitzvah and Kibush Rabbim and so on, because again, we're talking about the goal of conquering land in and beyond Eretz Yisrael, the title of Shir. So land beyond Eretz Yisrael, the conquest can give it, if done the right order and done by Kibush Rabbim, can give it Kedusha in terms of mitzvahs, at least, mitzvahs of Eretz Yisrael. So that's what the goal is. But there is an interesting sugya in the end of Ksubas. Comes in the end of Ksubas, because we know that a husband and wife are married. So the rule is that if they get divorced, so the husband has to pay the wife a Ksuba. I decide to get divorced. That's Maseches Ksubas is about. So the only thing is that that's only true unless the wife is responsible for breaking up the marriage. So let's say I'm married, I live here in Teaneck, and there's one fine day, my wife says she wants to move to the North Pole. So I don't want to move to the North Pole, I want to stay here in Teaneck. She says, okay, I want a divorce, I want to move to the North Pole. okay, give a divorce, I have to pay her ksuba. She initiated the divorce. That's her business, right? Let's say the reverse. Let's say I come home one day and say, I'd like to move to North Pole. And she says, no, I want to stay here in New Jersey. So I said, well, I'm coming, I move to North Pole, I'll give you a divorce. And I do have to pay the ksuba, right? That's the rule. If the whoever's responsible for breaking up the marriage, that's what's going to determine whether she gets the ksuba or not. But the Mishnah says, on Kuf Yudim Beis 36, the Mishnah says, unless one of them wants to move to Eretz Yisrael, or within Eretz Yisrael to Yerushalayim, then that person's automatically in the right. Right? Hakol ma'al Yisrael ain't komotzin. Hakol ma'al Yisrael ain't komotzin. Echad hanoshim ve'echad hanoshim. Both men and women. She can force her husband to go to Eretz Yisrael or pay up the ksuba. As Rashi explains in 37. The Gemara elaborates. In 38, and that the ksuba is kufi on the base. Turn around and expels it out. Hu amar lalos, hu amar shalol lalos. Okay? He wants to make aliyah. She doesn't. So we force her. And if not, you can divorce her and don't have to pay the ksuba. On the reverse side, if she wants to make aliyah, he doesn't. So you force him, and if he won't come, he's got to pay the ksuba. So whoever, that person's in the right. Why is this so? Why is this so? So it's interesting because we're coming out to a little bit of a different angle. Why is this so? So the Tash Beitz in the Tshuva, Chelek Gimel Siman Reish 40, writes, Shem mitzvah dira min haTorah, because there's a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. So she wants to do the mitzvah, or he wants to do the mitzvah. Why? Mipnei chiyuv ha-mitzvahs, because there are more mitzvahs that apply in Eretz Yisrael than other places. That's how the Tash Beitz understands it. The Maharit, in his Tshuva, Chelek Beis, Chelek Ardesim, Chav Ches, and Chsam Sofer, Chelek Ardesim, Reish Lam and Dalet, sources 41, 42, understand a little differently. Okay? They say, okay, that never mind the mitzvahs you're going to do there. There's a mitzvah to live there altogether. Right? That's the idea. Well, look at the Chsam Sofer, it's simpler. In 42. It's not because of the mitzvahs, but rather mishum kedushas atzma, because it's own kedusha. So there's a goal of living in Eretz Yisrael because the kedusha of the land, you have to populate the land and live there to benefit the kedusha. The Tashbait said it's because you have more mitzvahs. But the Maharit, okay, and some sofer say it's because of the value of living in Eretz Yisrael. Kibush doesn't only mean a military conquest. Going back to the Ramban, kibush means I acquire land in Eretz Yisrael. I don't have to conquer it. I bought it. So now I bought it from a non-Jew. So I'm acquiring land in Eretz Yisrael, right? That's also kibush. I'm living there. Never mind that I have an opportunity to do more mitzvahs. That's not the point, according to the Chsam Sofer, according to the Maharit. The point is that gufa is a mitzvah. That the goal of conquering land or acquiring land is to populate the country with Jews. Right, that's part of the of kibush. Now it's very interesting. Tosos makes a famous comment in 43. Kuf Yudam Beis there in Ksubas. Dimas Hu Amar Lalos. Tosos Eino Noeg Bismanazeh Dika Sakonas Drachim. This mitzvah doesn't apply today because to go to Eretz Yisrael is very dangerous. It's dangerous to travel there. In those days it was dangerous. You couldn't hop on a plane. You'd be there in 9 hours. You had to take a boat, and then there were pirates, and it was dangerous on the high seas, and so on. There was a big. Or you had to travel over land, and who knows who you run into there. It was a big issue. Okay, then Tosfos v'hayar menor Chaim, one of the Balei Tosfos menor Chaim coin, the achshav ain't a mitzvah to Eretz Yisrael altogether. There's no mitzvah. Why? Ki yesh kama mitzvah satuz bar. It's a kama ocean. The ain't lichol lizarbem v'yalamar alem. There are mitzvahs in Eretz Yisrael that apply that we can't do. Too difficult, too challenging to keep Shemitah. In those days it was. You didn't have a tray like refrigeration or you can import and stuff. So you can't do the mitzvahs. So the Maharit and others say that this makes no sense what Chaim Cohen wrote. The Maharit in that same Tshuva, Chelek Beis, Chelek Ardeis, and Chof Ches 44, says he doesn't believe Rabbi Chaim Cohen said that. It's a mistake. It was, and he quotes the other Rishonim, don't quote this from Tosas, all right? And he thinks that some student made a mistake. Okay, it was a copy error, a note-taking error, whatever. Look at the last words of 44. Talmud delav sam, hagos Talmud, he belav sam chiklal. Can't be Rabbi Chaim Cohen said that. Rabbi Chaim Cohen said the first thing, it's dangerous to travel there. That's something else. Maybe a mitzvah living at Yisrael, but it's not a mitzvah which you have to give up your life. It's not one of the mitzvahs you have to risk your life for. So, okay, if it's too dangerous to travel, you don't have to have any mitzvah that brings you a risk of life. Okay, but he doesn't buy this business. He can't do the mitzvah. Shulchan Aruch also, in Eben Ezra's and Ayin Hey, Sif Hey, 45 quotes that some say there's no mitzvah. It's only a mitzvah. It's Efshar Belo Sakona. And the Pisrei Chubas in Cotton Vav, their quotes is Marit and thinks that it was a Talmud Torah. Anyway, be that as it may, one could argue, and that's the Beis Halevi posits in 47, Chelek Beis Simon Zion, Chabzah Chelek Beis Simon Nun, Chubas Beis Halevi, Chelek Beis Simon Nun, 47. The Beis Halevi posits, maybe there's a machlokas. Okay, maybe remember the Chaver Chaim Cohen is correct. Okay, you can't observe the mitzvahs there, but the Beis Halevi says after he analyzes it, but he says, but according to the Ramban, last two lines of 47 Ramban, do mitzvah mitzad atzma midoraisa. But forget about the mitzvahs of the. So let's say Rabbi Chaim Cohen's right. You can't observe the mitzvahs in Eretz Yisrael. The Shemitah, the Truma is too difficult. Okay? Good, but there's a mitzvah to populate the land anyway, at least according to Ramban. That itself, okay? Look at the last line. Kevin, the Mechuy of Mitzar Atzma, Murchuk Leishab of Litrok, Bekimitzo Adashki Rachim. We have to do our best, and never mind Rabbi Chaim Cohen. There's reasons why. That's why he thinks Rabbi Chaim Cohen can't be right. Okay, even if he's right that we can't do the mitzvahs, that's not an excuse. That's not enough of a reason. Why? Because it's an independent value to go live in the land. That's the idea of kibbush, of acquiring land in Eretz Yisrael, because we're supposed to populate the land. That gufa is a mitzvah, and that's what the Ramban is talking about. Really, the two things go together, the kibbush and the living. So it's very interesting when talking about, to bring it one other angle in it. And this is what Rav Amital Zichron Lebracha said. I said I'm saying this now because those were in the beginning, because it's the yard site in a couple of days, the 10th yard site. Rav Amital, the founding Rosh Yeshivat Har Etzion. So he says the following, okay? He says a very interesting point. It's a different angle, a different answer to our question, the goal of conquering land. He comes at it through the issue of Mechemes Mitzvah and Mechemes Rishus, okay? You look in Hilchos Melachim Parakei 48, the Rambam writes in Halacha Aleph, okay? What is Mechemes Mitzvah, Mechemes Rishus? He says, Mechemes Mitzvah, Zu Mechemes Shiva Amamim, right? The Mechama of the Seven Nations, occupied Eretz Yisrael, Mechemes Amalek, right? And Ezom Yad Tzar Shabuala in defensive war. Some other nation, not from the seven nations, not from Amalek, attacks Eretz Yisrael. You have to defend yourself. So that's Mechemes Mitzvah. Okay, and that's what he could do. The king fights Mechemes Mitzvah first. Acharkach, Nilcham Mechemes Rishus. What's Mechemes Rishus? He a Melchoma, Shenilcham Mishar Amim Kedei Laharachiv Gevul Yisrael. A king wants to expand his territory, territorial expansion. That's not a Mechemes Mitzvah. The king wants to do it. Okay, that's a Mechemes Rishus. Or, Laharbos Bigduloso Vishomo. He wants to, boast. He wants to beef up his name. He wants to have something remembered by. He conquered so much territory, right? He wants to beef up his status, so to speak. That's Mechemes Rishus. Okay? And he writes, Mechemes Mitzvah. He doesn't even have to ask Bezin for Mechemes Rishus. He has to get permission from Bezin. Okay. Now, if you look in the Gemara in Sota, Mem Dalam and Beis, we saw part of it before, which discusses Mechemes Mitzvah, Mechemes Rishus. So the Gemara there says, there's another thing. And look at the 49. Ki pligi machlokas, the mishnah between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbanan. It says, ki pligi limute of the kochavim de lo lesi alayhu. Limute of the kochavim de lo lesi alayhu. Well, we call that a preemptive strike. To weaken some other non-Jewish nation, so they shouldn't have the ability to attack us, right? That's a machlokas, where that's a mitzvah rishus. Mar kori mitzvah, mar kori rishus. That's a machlokas. Yehuda says that's also a mechemes mitzvah. The Rabbanan say it's no, that's a mechemes rishus. Who cares? Also, when supposed to, Mar has a reason. But why it makes a difference? Rashi says, keep pligi, 50. Sota mem dalma beis, keep pligi. Yehuda Rabbanan, that's a mitzvah rishus. That's this issue of to prevent somebody from being able to attack, a preemptive strike. Like I actually saw in the early 1980s, in 1981, or whatever, they bombed that nuclear reactor in Iraq, a preemptive strike. Right? Okay. Now, so it's in the Rambam explains in the Perish HaMishnah, in that Mishnah, so that's Perkes Mishnah of 51. So he says, what does this mean? So the Machlokas, Behudah and Rabbanan, they don't argue about the mitzvahs, Mechemes Mitzvah, the conquering the seven nations, that about it, right? Ain't Machlokas b'neim, shem Mechemes Shiva Amin, Mechemes Amalek Kova. That's for sure Mechemes obligatory, okay? And the other things, like we mentioned before, the king wants to wage war to enhance his territory, enhance his reputation, increase territory, that's Mechemes Rishus. Lo Nechlik on the second line of 51, Ela b'mechemes umos hanilchamim b'hem kedei lachlisham, to fight an enemy, to weaken them, they won't be able to attack us later. Again, a preemptive strike. Tanakama, the Rabbanan, Kori Zerishus. The Yehuda calls that also a mitzvah. And at the end, the Rambam writes, Ein Halacha K'Yehuda. So the question which the Lecha Mishnah asks now, 52, on that Rambam, Parakei, of Hilchos Melachim, Halacha Aleph, the Lecha Mishnah asks a question. Why didn't the Rambam look back at 48? The Rambam says, what's a Mechemes Mitzvah? That's Yoshua to conquer the land. That's the battle with the seven nations, the battle of Amalek. okay, or a self-defense war, okay, and what's a Mechames Rishus? That's the king wants to expand his territory or enhance his reputation. Wonders the Lechem Mishnah, why didn't the Rambam mention also, since we pass like the Rabbonin, among examples of Mechames Rishus should also have been, said the Lechem Mishnah, this preemptive strike. It's also Mechames Rishus. Why didn't he bring it? Why didn't he mention it? So Lechem Mishnah answered, that's included under Laharbos Bigduloso, the Shamu da Kavano Shiru Menu. Why does the king want to enhance reputation? I will be afraid of him. So preemptive strike is part of that to show off his power. Okay. That's what he said. So it's just an interesting Lechem Mishnah. So based on this, Rav Mital pointed out the following. You know, there is a din that when the Jews go out to war, that's in Parsha Shoftim. Dvarim Perkov Pasuk Aleph Beis. He says, "Milchamim go out to war." So don't worry, don't be frightened, because Hashem is fighting for you. And start the Pasuk Beis when you go out to the war. The Kohen, the so-called Kohen Shul Mechama comes. He gives the whole drasha. I printed all the psukim, and that's where he says you're going to battle. Shema Yisrael. Okay. You're going out to battle. Don't be frightened. Why? Important pasuk. Ki Hashem Elokeichem Aleichem Achem Elachem Lachem Imay Bechem Elashchesem Lo Shieschem. Because Baruch Hu is waging war on your behalf. And then the other officers would say, anyone built a house, he can leave. Anyone just got married, got engaged, whatever, can leave. Okay. And somebody who's terribly frightened should leave too. So rather than ruin the morale, and then they would go out to battle. So it's interesting. The Rambam in Hilchos Melachim Perek Zayin is talks about Mechemes Rishus, okay, and he says this whole speech that certain people are allowed to go back, because they just got married or whatever, they just built a house, that's only true by Mechemes Mitzvah. By Mechemes Rishus, Mechemes Mitzvah, we said before, everybody has to fight. Now, that's an halacha dalet. Halacha tesvav, the Rambam writes as follows. Very important. Rami Tal stressed this. He said as follows. What is this speech that the guy gave, that was given? Okay. He says, first of all, somebody who, me'achar shikones v'kisha mechoma, yishon al mikveh Yisrael moshiyo. Once you're out in the battlefield, you can't be frightened. You have to rely on God who's going to save you. Okay. And put your life in his hands. Lo yirav alivchad. Velo yachshav, lo beishto, don't think about your wife back home. Velo bebanav, don't think about your children. Ela, just the matters of the war. Okay? And he writes, and I quote that the pasuk means, don't be frightened. And he says he certainly shouldn't behave in such a way that will frighten other people or ruin the morale and so on. But he writes clearly that it's, and Rav Mital said, that he's doing this for the sake of fighting on behalf of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, and he says, you're doing this for Hashem. It's a mechama, so to speak, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. All right, that's what you have to do. Look at the second line. Shal Yichud Hashem Hu Oseh Mechama. That's the speech that was given, and that's what every warrior, every soldier has to bear in mind. So Rav Mital said, what is the purpose? You're going out to war, and it's even by Mechames Rishus, because that's what's being discussed here. It's even by Mechames Rishus. What's the idea? That even by Mechemes Rishus, there was a goal, but certainly by Mechemes Mitzvah, there was a goal to recognize that Al Yichud Hashem Hu Oseh Mechama. You're fighting a battle for Eretz Yisrael. It's for the oneness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You're fighting against the enemies of Eretz Yisrael, the enemies of the Jews. You're fighting, it's a religious battle. And Rav Mital pointed out, the Rambam says in the Mor Nebuchim, Chelek Gimel Perek Mem Hei, fascinating. He's discussing there, how come it never says in the Torah exactly where the Beis HaMikdash is going to be? Never says in the Torah, just says Hamakom Asher Yivchar Hashem. So you know, Avraham Avinu, that's where the Akedah was, whatever. But we have a tradition, but it was never written in the Torah. So the Rambam wonders, why did the Torah never specify exactly where the holy place is? The holiest place is. So he gives a few reasons. Okay, but well, one is Ha'achas, in the first one, the third line of 55, Shaliach Ziku Bo Ha'umos, because the other nations will know that that's the holy place for the Jews. They'll fight a war. Yilchamu alav mechama chazaka, kashiyedu shezeh makom in ha'aretz u'tachles ha'Torah. The Rambam says, he's right. If the non-Jews will know that that's our special place, then suddenly they'll want it. We saw that historically. Jerusalem, although the third holiest city in Islam, was a backwater city for decades, for centuries. It was a backwater town. No, nobody went there, nobody lived there, nobody cared about it. Okay? Jews went to die there, based on a small Sephardi community, but nothing. And certainly the world had no interest in Jerusalem. When did the world suddenly get interested in Jerusalem? Oh, in 1800, the Jews started to come back. Then all of a sudden, everyone wants to have an embassy there. Wants not an embassy, you know, but the consulate there. You know, the other nations got interested in Cologne. And the Arabs suddenly want it, right? When we want it, when everyone knows we want it, so then suddenly they want it. That's what Mittal said. They'll fight to the death. They'll fight to, because they take over this place. What's he stressing? That every battle that our enemies fight against us is really a battle against our Kaddish Baruch Hu. It's a religious war. They don't like our religion. Okay? There's a whole contemporary. And he, by the way, he says it in the Igeres Taimon also. Mittal points out, these are his Marmakomas, not mine. 56, the Igeres Taimon. Okay? He said the letter to the Jews of Yemen. He says, people are jealous of the Jewish people, right? The other nations, they're very jealous of our religion and of our behavior and so on. And they'll hate us and they'll wage wars against us and so on. And he says, no, there's always time, there's always kings and other people that their purpose is not so much they hate us people personally, they hate us our religion. At least they start out. Look at the last two lines of 56. She'ein tchilas kavanosod v'daito listor toras v'daito listor torasenu ulahafok dasenu. Their main purpose, original purpose, is to go against our Torah, and it's Amalek and Sisra and Sanchev and Nebuchadnezzar and Titus. And we're now in the 3 weeks, right? Adrianus, Caesar, right? These are many like them. They're against our religion. They're against our people. Okay, as a religious entity, and they're against. So the Rabbi Tal put it all together. That's why the Jews who fight the war have to know what they're fighting for. They're fighting the language of Rambam, Yichur Hashem O'Samacham. That's why they start up with us to begin with, because they really dislike our religion. There's a whole debate right now. Can you know? I mean, in the news now, can you be anti-Israel? Does that automatically make you an anti-Semite? A person will make all these statements that are anti-Israel, and they'll say, "I'm not an anti-Semite. I don't have a problem with the Jews. I only got a problem with Israel." You cut it down. It's the same thing. In most cases, the same thing. Okay, I would say, if you make demands of Israel that you don't make demands, the same demands of every other country in the world, then your demands of Israel is because you're an anti-Semite. Okay, and the people who care, oh, the treatment of this, they did that. Well, they have the same standards to other countries. They have other nations where they also oppress people, and they don't make a fuss about those. So then you're saying because you don't like Jews. As simple as that. But that's a political comment I'm trying to stay away from. But in any event, the point being that. So now there's another point. Based on Rav Mittal is being mechadish over here in this Rambam, the goal of conquering land is to defend our religion, right? To stand up for Yichud Hashem, and that's really what it's all about. I will reflect something personally. I've been to Eretz Yisrael. Give me another extra minute if I can, just to finish up. But you've been to Eretz Yisrael. I've been there many times. Somehow I go to the Kol Samaravi, and I've witnessed. They have these ceremonies there, tekes, a ceremony for soldiers being inducted into the Israeli army. Okay? And I remember the very first time I saw it, many years ago, they have in the back of the Kotel Rabbi, they're not where the people daven, but in the back, you know, the plaza, the Kotel Plaza. They have a whole ceremony with speeches and soldiers and so on and so forth, the flags. That's a whole thing. And they induct the soldiers into the army, into their ranks or whatever, or it's a business group just became whatever the sergeants or whatever it is, they have all these ceremonies. I'm sure some of you have seen it. I've witnessed it a few times myself. I remember the first time I saw it, I wonder, is this appropriate? What are they doing here by the Kosal Maravi? Let them go to Binyan HaHoma, you know, the concert hall or something like that, or some big hall, and have it there. What happened here by the Kosal Maravi? Isn't it taken away from the Kedusha of the place? It's a place for davening, for learning. Well, and then I thought about it further, and I realized quite the opposite. Quite the opposite. It's the best place to do it. Why? Based on this Rambam. Because the soldiers should know what we're fighting for. Yeah, many soldiers are religious. They're wearing yarmulke, but many soldiers are not religious. They don't observe Judaism. And they don't know. They come to this place and the captain or whatever, the person in charge, explains what this place is. And now they identify with the place. They know what they're fighting for. Not just fighting for a country that started, 72 years ago, some political entity. They're fighting for a country that's part of a long, long tradition, a long, long, you know, Masorah. And yeah, Dafka to Kol Samaravi, near the Makom Mikdash, they're inducted into their position, initiated into their ranks, and so on and so forth. Dafka should be there because that's part of it, and that's the role of the king. The Rambam writes in 57, Mittal pointed out Perak Dal of Malach Malach Yud. What's the role of a king? Okay, a king's role is Look at the second line. What's the job of the king? Call you, my soul, shame, shame. I'm good. The tia magama so machshav tola harim datsimes. The goal of a king is to, even when waging a kibush yachid war, a private melchemes mitzvah, melchemes rishus for himself. But it's not ultimately for himself. It's ultimately laharim daso emes ulamalo so olam tzedek, to bring more justice to the world. Right, that's the idea. That's the purpose of a king waging war. And the truth of the matter is, the Rambam says in the Sefer HaMitzvah, is very interesting. That's what the whole drusha of the Kohen Moshe Muhammad and the other officers who spoke to the people before they went out to war, to tell them that they should recognize what they're fighting for. And even by Mechemes Mitzvah, it's interesting, even by Mechemes Rishus rather, it's interesting because the Rambam at the end of the Sefer HaMitzvah, Mitzvah Sekuv Tzari Aleph, the Rambam writes that, first of all, the Rambam says, he has to say the things that Pasuk says to say. Somebody who just got married can leave, and somebody who just built the house, and someone who just planted a vineyard. That's what it says in the Torah, and that's the Moshe Muhammad. Okay, good. But then, the Rambam adds, okay, V'yomar, in the third line of 58, very important to read inside, V'yomar betochachto, V'loshan iskav Torah, V'yosef alzeh, then he adds, the Kohen Moshe Muhammad. Mamorim ye'oruru ha'am la'melchama, to inspire the people to fight. The aviem listakim rational lazor das hakel ulashamra, to help the religion of Kadosh Baruch Hu, right, and to guard it, and take revenge upon the people who are mafsidim yosha medinos, who bring chaos and destruction to the world. That's what has to be said. It's interesting because the Rambam at the end says, oh, this is only seems to be true of Mechemes Rishus, not Mechemes Mitzvah, right? Look at the last line, to 58. But Omna Mechemes Mitzvah ain't bo shum davar mizeh. Okay, you don't have to make this speech. The problem is, the Rambam of the Mishnah Torah, Perek Zayin, Hilchos Melachim, Aleph 59, he writes, Echad Mechemes Mitzvah, Echad Mechemes Rishus. You do have a Kohen speak. So what's going on, right? What's going on exactly? So the Teretz may be as follows, and it's, Rami Tal didn't say this, but it fits in, I think, very well what he was trying to say. I saw this in a sefer called Mitzvah HaMelech by a contemporary Talmud or by Cinnamon from Chicago. But others say this also, and I thought of it really a little myself. It's not, you know, not such a big kiddush, but I think it works in very well. He says, and we say like this, maybe when the Rambam says in the Sefer Mitzvahs, you don't have to make that speech for Mechemes Mitzvah, that's the speech of who could leave, because no one's allowed to leave by Mechemes Mitzvah. But this thing which the Kohen adds himself, to know you're fighting for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that applies to the Mechemes Mitzvah as well. And that's what Mital's point. Mechemes Mitzvah, Mechemes Rishus. We're fighting Laharim Das HaKel. The Chinuch brings this Lahalach also. The Chinuch in Mitzvah Tav Kuv Chav Vav in Parsha Shoftim says, first he gives the speech that the Torah says, and then V'yosef od Mishalo, look at the last couple lines, 61. V'yosef od Mishalo Dvar Machirim. Ya'orub and Adon Chama, right? Like the Rambam says, more or less the words of the Rambam. The Minchas Chinuch, in Mitzvah Gimel, in Oz Gimel, in that Mitzvah Tav Kuv Chavov in 62, wonders why you're allowed to do that. Why is that Bal Tosef? The Torah says, here's what you're supposed to say. So say it. And he says an example. The Torah says by the Birchas Kohanim, the Kohanim have to say these psukim. Not allowed to add more psukim, even though they're nice brachas. Not allowed to add more psukim. Why are you allowed to add this? So he wonders about it. Okay? He says, I have to figure out why you're allowed to add these things. Okay? He doesn't, not, he says, Tzorach Ian. Okay, why are allowed to add it? But Lamaisa, you could say that the Torah was not being exhausted. But in any event, and that maybe that's why the Rambam Perek Zalach Beis writes in 63, Shtei pa'amim v'dabim v'shor pa'amim, speaks twice, okay? Maybe one time is to let the people go back, and the other time, you tell them not to be frightened because you're fighting the war of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Lamaisa, what comes out now is yet another answer to our original question we started this year. What are the goals of conquering land in and beyond Eretz Yisrael? So again, we had the Ramban that there's a mitzvah kibush. Aside from living in Eretz Yisrael, there's a mitzvah kibush, and we said that kibush endows the land with kedushas Eretz Yisrael. Maybe kedushas Yisrael with regard to mitzvahs, not but the kedusha that you had before. We had like from the rikurkos, and the idea of living in Eretz Yisrael, populating it. Never mind the mitzvahs that you can do there. That's true too. But there's a kibush to fill the land, that Jews should live in the land of Eretz Yisrael. And now we added, based on Rami Tal's Chiddush, that really is saying it from the Rambam. It's not, it's really pushing the Rambam that way, that part of Kibush of Eretz Yisrael, conquering land, whether in and beyond Eretz Yisrael, whether mitzvahs, whether Mechemes Mitzvah, Mechemes Rishus, is Laharim Das HaKel, right? You're fighting for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. that's also something you have to bear in mind. I think that aside from the value of these comments in general, just at the time of year, this year, now, you know, between Shavuos and Tammuz and Tisha B'Av, when we mourn our loss of Eretz Yisrael, so it's a nice thing to study about conquering Eretz Yisrael, what it means to have Eretz Yisrael, and we should have the schus to be able to return there, in its fullest sense, as soon as possible. Here we are, wish everybody a good Shabbos.
Rabbi Kessler?
Yeah.
Two small things. One, I'm just losing focus. What does it mean to have Kedusha but not the mitzvot of Eretz Yisrael?
The land that's Kedusha, for example, the Akram says is a schus maybe to be buried there. Okay.
Oh, okay.
Or he mentions, Yaakov mentions that Mishnah and Ksubas, that you can, the wife can maybe force the husband, or the husband force the wife to go live there, because it's just inherent value in being there. Maybe that's would be.
Okay. And another thing, in Source 42, the Chasam Sofer said that at the end of that source, how would you explain? I'm not trying to cause trouble. I'm just saying, how do you explain the idea where he says